Fantastic. So what did we talk about last week? Is that question the pastor asked that you hate? It's like, ugh. I almost don't remember what we talked about last week, but that's a bad thing. But what's our new series? Let's try that. Christmas playlist. And so we're using songs really to lead us in to a message. And last week was really understanding what we're relying on in the truth of Jesus, why he came, why that has to stay in the foremost part of our minds, because this season brings so many different things to us. And so this week, we're actually talking about how do we get through the season dealing with losses. This is a very, very, very difficult season for many people for all different reasons. You may be celebrating Christmas with someone that you love, that's been with you for years and years and years, and they've since passed. And now you're going through these same things. You remember, oh, they used to put the star on the tree, or they used to make this, and man, this, we would read the Christmas story together. And now you're at the season, and life's totally different. Could be a parent, could be a relative, son, daughter. You may be going through this season, and marriage looks different. Maybe you went through a separation, maybe you went through a divorce, and so it brings up everything you used to do. And many times, I mean, they say that Christmas is one of the most depressing seasons for many because of the thoughts that it brings. And so when I think about that, well, that's kind of sad, because what are we celebrating? Well, it's the birth of Jesus Christ. But if you think of any holiday, what does any holiday bring? It brings family together. It brings traditions. And I mean, who just had Thanksgiving? You do things different on that Thursday than most Thursdays, am I right? Work gives it to you off, you have extra time. Now Christmas is coming, and on top of that, there's traditions, there's family, there's finances, there are all these different things. And then on top of that, there's just memories of how one year is now different from the other, and that can bring hardship. So I just want to walk us through what God has placed on my heart of how do you walk through that. This isn't the magical, this is how never did we be depressed on any Christmas anymore ever again at all. Emotions are real. Relationships are real. Loss is real. And so we have to face that. But there's a way that we can look at it. There's a way that we can face it and still have such a heart, such a hope, such a joy for the coming of Jesus Christ. So, are you ready to go? All right. This song is going to touch you, bless you, maybe even cause a tear. That reminds you when you think, who would say in your lifetime, we're all different ages, all different lives, over the years, you've seen your celebration of Christmas, from where you go to who you celebrate, you've seen it change. I mean, there's a lot of things I haven't experienced that some of you have, but I can think of where we used to celebrate it. A bunch of our family would pile into my grandparents' house over here on Guile. Smallest house, made no sense whatsoever, but it was Grandma and Grandpa, and that's what we did. Well, Grandma and Grandpa are gone, so We had to move. We had to change. We had some people that have went through divorces in our family, and so we accepted some new people, and we had to move. We had to change, and so the seasons change, and with that, how do you take that? How does it hit you? And so when it comes to Christmas, to really allow just the truth of what it is to be not just the most important thing, but just like the largest thing on our minds. See, when you go through hardships, who can say, I have complete control over my mind at all times? Well, I've tried. You know, this has been an interesting, probably, year in my life where my mind just trails off when I stop it and I pray, then it trails off again and I stop it and I pray, and we have this reoccurring event throughout the day sometimes because it wants to fix everything that's wrong. And my heart's like, you know what? You can't. So God, it's yours. So for this season, what I'm hoping is he gave me something. And I'm hoping we'll just wrap our minds around this and just help us accept as Christmas comes and pay more attention to the truth and the other things that we can't control. Like I said, this is not a quick fix scheme. I don't have those powers. But at the same time, just pay attention to what God's going to say to us. And I think it's going to be amazing. Often holidays remind us of the sorrows and the times in our lives. And I thought to myself, as a pastor, one unique thing about this job is you get a front row seat to sorrow. Because when I do a funeral, Sometimes things have happened before that. And that's some of the deepest, probably the deepest sorrows I've seen is at the loss. And I've been with families through sudden tragedies. I once had to go to a home when someone just fell downstairs and died, and I went to the home that day and was trying to help the family understand this when I myself am wondering, what the world? God, there wasn't another way. I mean, what's going on here? I've been in hospital situations where you couldn't pack another person in the room, but as you as the pastor walk in, they actually make a way for you to get up to this bed and hoping that God's going to work through you to bring a miracle. I've sat down with families where they went through a loss and they can't even sit on the same side of the table. And so I've experienced watching sorrows in people's lives. And you, when you add that in to the times now that we're in and the season, I can understand totally where this is a very depressing season for people, because it doesn't remind them of what they've gained through Christ. They can only think of what they've lost. I've sat across a table from a husband and wife that just can't make it work. And then I've watched children, matter of fact, when I was a youth pastor, have to go through that, the decision they didn't make, but they have to live. And if you're out there going, man, you're just kicking me, that's not what I'm saying. Life happens, and we have to deal with it. But all those things create sorrows that can affect us in such a way that we don't get to gather really the truth and feel what's really going on, that God loves you. After I just got through talking about sorrows and horrible times, and now you're leading with God loves you, he has such a passion for you individually that he died for you. You are so precious to him. This world doesn't help us to feel that sometimes. Who here would look at yourself and think, I am precious, I am a gift, I have purpose? Sometimes we look at all the other things. You have to comprehend that. And you say, why am I such a gift? The word tells us that Jesus came down and died for us. He gave his life for us. It also tells us that God allowed this to happen. You are a gift. And so God's gift to us was his son being born of a virgin on the day, I say this day, but in the period of like a December month. Why? Because he loves us. Regardless of what's going on in your life, he has a passion for you. And this gift was given to you. And that, to me, just gives me hope regardless of what's going on in my life. What I can fix, what I can't fix. What I can control, what I can't control. That gift is ours. And that gift brings eternal life if you accept that gift. And then when you have the ability to give that gift, I mean, my goodness, to be able to have a life that when I speak out the word of God, I am taking the opportunity to bless people with the greatest gift of all, that they have a Savior that can save them from these sins, that can give them an eternity. That is amazing. This is a celebration of that. And we're serving the God who has a passion for us and loves us beyond anything. Listen, I'm going to quiz you a little bit, but listen. Let me turn that baby, there we go, to this. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Who sounds like they're talking here? Sounds like Jesus. Okay, now we've talked about this before, but we'll have some fun, a little quiz. Isaiah, Old Testament or New Testament? Okay, approximately how many years are between the Old Testament and the writing of Matthew, the start of the New Testament? Approximately 400 years, and then 300 before that from Isaiah to the end of the Old Testament, Malachi. And so here we are, 700 years, this is Jesus, but when was Jesus born? In the Old Testament or the New? The New Testament. So what does this mean? We're talking about a guy 700 years before he's born on this earth. What is that? That's prophecy. And that's the power of God. And so listen to this. Let's read this again. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to what? To comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim the captives will be set free and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord has come. Now, I don't want to remove this from context. This mourning was they were in need of a Savior. They were in need of it. Why? Because we sin. But this mourning, this sorrow that we talk about, can actually rob us. So I think this is fitting, that this is Jesus speaking, that I have come for those who mourn. What's say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who mourn. Because they are desiring more. And that more has come in the form of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're celebrating here. So this is Old Testament prophecy. So we go to Luke 4:16. Now this is, Jesus has been born. He started his missionary journey. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went, as usual, to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. What does that sound like? He read Isaiah 61, and he's saying, it's me. That was me. That is the Old Testament prophecy being brought to light, and he said this in his hometown. So it is real. He is here. He has come to comfort us. There are things that we can't control, but there's also something that Satan cannot control. This has happened. Jesus was born. He was born of a virgin to make sure that this was a miracle. It couldn't happen any other way. He lived a life free from sin, and he died on the cross as a sacrificial lamb for our lives, bridging that gap to God. So now we can get to God through Jesus Christ. That's what this day is celebrating. No one can rob you of that hope. No one can rob you of that joy. And so when we're going through this season and we're thinking of what we do not have, let's just focus on, but this is what we do have. Anyone have traditions? Just name one or two. Something that you do every Christmas season, no matter what. Bake. Put up the tree. Anybody else? Family get-togethers. Christmas music, there you go. I've been given strict instructions at work. I can't play it until after November because I really like Christmas music. But anybody else? Watch your wife make cookies? Did you get kicked out of the kitchen too, Kev?
Watch the grandkids eat
the cookies. Yeah, watching the... All these traditions. Now, what happens through a sorrow, be it a loss or a separation... What happens when the people that set up that tree are no longer there? Do you still set up the tree? Tom, you talked about family get-togethers. What happens when the family is no longer the same? Do you still get together? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. In traditions, have you ever stopped a tradition because the person that led that tradition is gone? What if, this is Matt Sanford, this isn't the Bible here. What if you keep that tradition going? What if someone else takes that tradition over? What if you start a new one that just can bring hope and joy? These are just ideas because when someone's gone, like in case of a death, they're gone. And so I'd hate to think that every time, well, there's a star. Boy, so-and-so, Grandpa so-and-so put that star on. And that's so sad. I just miss him so much. And put the star back down. No one's putting the star on because Grandpa used to do it. What does that star stand for? Let's look deeper into them. Hey, let's get that. You know what? Grandson, you're the tallest. You're going to be the new star person. You're going to and just find joy in something that was once sorrowful. These are just like ideas, but new traditions can be started, and new joys can come out of those traditions. Or maybe you sit down and you tell a story of someone that's gone, but it's such a blessing. And you're reminded of what a joy. God, thank you for that person in my life. My goodness, how amazing. And so just different ways to look, because ultimately God, he wants you to understand this season as a time of joy, because if we're not joyous, how do we spread joy? We can have Jesus Christ in our hearts, but we've just been hit with a ton of bricks, and yet we're expected to show joy. A good friend of mine lost one of his children to cancer years and years ago, and he sent me a message several months ago that his remaining daughter now has terminal cancer. And I thought, well, God, that just isn't fair. And he visited the other day. I got to hang out with him a little bit, and he pulled his hat off and he showed me completely bald, which he has a lot of hair, and he's just doing that. And, you know, his daughter's going through some chemo. And boy, how do you look at Christmas season and think, wait a second, because when his daughter passed, she just made it through Christmas. How do you make it through things like that? And now you're looking at a situation where is what's going to happen here? Am I going to lose my other daughter? Can you make sense of that, anybody? Okay, now, I'm not trying to depress you here, but is God still God? Did Jesus still die for our sins? Is this earth but a blink of an eye? It is. Is there an eternity in heaven? So sometimes we have to think about God. Your word says that you can even work through this. It doesn't make any sense to us, but you can even work through this. Be it a miracle, or be it you're bringing someone to Christ through this. I mean, there's so many different stories you could even tell, I could tell, where God has worked through tragedies that we can't understand. So the ability to think, God, this is yours, my faith is in you, you can even work through this. Listen to this. We're in Mark chapter 16 now. Jesus, he was born, he lived, he died on the cross, and now he rose again. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. That's a cool story in its own. A demon-possessed woman that Jesus saw a future in. And so he didn't run from her, he ran toward her. And through his faith, she received the faith in Jesus Christ, and now she was a follower of Jesus. What an amazing story. Never count anybody out in your life that seems unapproachable, especially after you read something like this. That's not even where I'm getting at. The woman who he had cast seven demons out of, she went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what happened. Why were the disciples grieving and weeping? They lost Jesus. They had lived this life. They went from just being fishermen, not sure if they liked their jobs or not, but just carrying on the family trait. Many of them had tried the whole rabbi scene. They didn't make the cut. They weren't quite, theological or even maybe high enough IQ. They didn't make the cut, so they went back to their family trait. Jesus sees them, calls them, and they walk for 3 years with the Son of God. Now, that had to be nerve-wracking because he put them in some sticky situations. Hey, there's 5,000 people out there. We got a couple fish and a few loaves. Go feed them. I'm doing my math here, God. We have a problem. 5,000, But for 3 years, they saw the power of God manifest through Jesus Christ. And so they were his followers. They weren't the leader. So for 3 years, they followed the Son of God, and now he is gone. For 3 years, they got up and traveled and spoke to people, sometimes tens, hundreds, thousands of people, and guess what they're doing now? They're hiding in a room. Life changed. So this grief is we've lost a best friend, but we've almost lost life. They're not doing anything like they've done it before. This grieving process is consuming them because they don't know what to do. Some of you have felt through had to fill that out. You've lost your partner in life. Man, I look at 30 years of marriage with my wife and don't even want to picture that. But it's real and it happens. So these disciples, they don't even know what to do. Guess what God tells them? Guess what Jesus tells them to do? I just love this to death. This is straight, this is the Holy Spirit here. Let this ignite your heart. Jesus tells them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. That hit anybody? You're at your lowest point. You think everything's being taken from you, but Jesus said, no, it hasn't. What you have in you is what I've placed in you. Now go out and give it away. And they even had to learn this because they're used to going out, but are they used to going out without Jesus? No. They were just the followers. And so he's telling them, you can do this. I have prepared. I have sent my Holy Spirit. You're not going out alone. But don't allow this sorrow to lock you up, to put you in a box, and to keep you from being fruitful. You walk through it. I'm going to be with you. Now go out. It's going to look different because it's going to be different. But I'm still going to be with you regardless. And great things are going to happen. The disciples went out filled with the Holy Spirit on their own. And Peter's first message brings 3,000 people to repentance. Peter didn't lead the Sermon on the Mount. Peter didn't walk up in the synagogues and speak. He just watched Jesus do all that. In his first sermon, he speaks out, and 3,000 people. God is saying, you were prepared for this. Don't allow these things, these sorrows, these things that are going to happen to keep you from doing what your purpose is. So sometimes I've talked to people where, Matt, just getting out of bed is a chore. Get out of bed. If we shift this a little bit from loss to maybe it's a loss of a friendship, and that person's still here. Get out of bed. Do something. Put a foot forward. Don't allow the sorrow and grieving process to just, like these disciples, just put themselves in a room and just not know what to do. Jesus loves us. He died for us. He said, go. He commissioned us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. There's nothing that we're doing alone. But it's so easy to allow past sorrows to just cloud the actual reason. But the actual reason for Jesus' birth was that he was going to live again, and that birth gave us life. Now, he has called us to spread that life. Now, when I say, like Peter spoke to 3,000, you might think, yeah, I'm no Peter. Speak to one. Take the truth that God has placed in you and just let it flourish, let it go. Have a conversation. There is life in Jesus Christ. And sometimes, I'm not trying to belittle sorrows, but sometimes we just allow that to keep us from moving forward. So I love that this is what Jesus told his disciples. Go. Get up and go. You know what I've taught you? Just do it. It'll look different. That's fine. I'm not going to be with you on earth anymore, but I'm going to be with you in heaven. Now go. If Christmas is hard this year, cherish the old traditions because they're special. Anyone have old memories? You like to retell the story several times. Maybe it makes you laugh. Maybe it makes you cry. Cherish that while making some new ones. Grieve, but keep looking forward to the future with hope and expectation. Your story isn't over. So if we follow our disciples, the story of, oh man, I walked with Jesus and I watched him heal the blind. And I watched, man, the pool of Bethesda, that was cool. The feeding of the 4,000 was neat, but then we did it for 5,000. Man, that was something else. And that time, man, we're just sitting there and he's like, Lazarus, come forth. Woo! That was a thing. We thought it was going to stink. It didn't. It was just crazy how all these different things happened. That was their life. But now it became, and then Peter just stood up. Man, I've never seen Peter like this in my life. And he just stood up and he spoke with this boldness and this power that, man, I used to see that boldness and power in Jesus, but now I saw it in Peter. How cool is that? And then Philip's like, man, all of a sudden I'm just walking beside this carriage. I don't know how I got there. And this Ethiopian's reading this Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. And I got the chance to sit in this chariot and explain the truth to him. And then God just took me away. I don't even know. It's like Star Trek, man. I was just somewhere else. That was a new experience. See, they thought that this was as good as it can get, but God had a plan for them. So no matter what you're going through, God has a plan for you. And we have to keep focused on the main reason of Christmas, and that is celebrating the birth of Christ because of the life that it gives us and the life that we can give others through our faithfulness. And this goes to all ages. Please, as I look at some teenagers, don't ever think I'm not there yet. You are. You have a testimony, you're there. If you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, there's something in you that knew what you needed, you're there. Just speak what you have. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. So Father, I pray right now God, I ask that you will heal the hurts. We're human. We hurt. We face difficulties. We face sorrow. We face loss of all different kinds. But Satan can't take you away from us. This has already happened. Messiah has come. Jesus, you have fulfilled the prophecy. It's in the books. You won. And Jesus, because you were so faithful to live without sin, we have an opportunity of life through you. God, may that be the hope that fuels us. So now I pray, Lord Jesus, in each of our hearts and each of our minds, that you will just give us pictures of people, situations, families, maybe traditions, maybe it's around this Christmas time, that you will just give us pictures of the people that you've called us to. So I pray for those who have been widowed, dear God, but they will see their purpose in you, of the people and the family and the friends that are around them. I pray for those who have suffered loss of a relationship that didn't come back, that they will be opened up and their minds will see, you know what, life is going to look a little bit different, but it's going to be good. That we'll be reminded of the disciples who kind of loved life with Jesus, but then they had to learn a new way. But Jesus kept the important thing in front of them. You have the good news. Now go and tell it. So God, may the difficult times, the anxieties, sometimes that depression that we can't seem to defeat as it comes, may you simply remind us of something that can't be taken away from us. And that is, Jesus is our Savior. He died and rose again, and through him we have life. And nothing can steal that. So with that, may we go forward and live our lives. May we go into all the world speaking the good news. May we accept that commission, knowing that you are with us at all times. Thank you, dear God. Holy Spirit, have your way amongst these people. Empower us to do what you already know that we can do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Amen.